I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before I get started, I just need to take a second, as per usual, and say a huge, huge thank you to my 668 patrons on Patreon. You guys are the reason that I get to watch each episode of Vanderpump Rules two times, take extensive notes on it, and then talk about it for hours on end. It's a dream come true, and it really wouldn't be possible without your support. So thank you for allowing me to make my dreams a reality. If you're curious about how you can get involved with this podcast and how you can support this project, it's very, very simple. You just have to visit www.patreon.com/sexunique podcast, and it is there that you will find everything you need to become a supporter of SUP. For as little as $1 an episode, you will have access to weekly bonus episodes between me and my guests. These are really fun because we can keep talking about Vanderpump Rules, or we can talk about anything that we want. So it's always a good time. And if you feel like coming in on a different level of patronage, the good news is there are plenty of levels that you can get involved at and various rewards associated with each level of patronage. So if you're curious, check it out, www.patreon.com/sexunique podcast for more details. And now, without further ado, I give to you this week's episode of SUP. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules. Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you. And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. Love it with the beach, here we go, so in. Come a girl with a friend, you be both win.
Okay, welcome to this week's episode. I have an incredibly special guest who you may recognize from past iterations of this podcast. It's writer and Lawler, Sam Lansky.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank
I'm
you for so, having me.
So happy to have you here.
Thrilled to be joined by this incredible community of pump heads listening out there.
I'm sure that they recognize that sultry voice of yours and they are equally as excited.
It's a treat for me. It's a treat for all of you. I think it's just like great all around.
Yeah, everyone wins.
Yeah, totally.
Before we started recording, you just like casually dropped a real power move of a sentence where you were like, oh,
you want to lead with this.
Yeah, I want to lead with this.
Oh, you want to start with this.
I'm going to dive in with this moment. So Sam was asking me to describe where I'm at with everyone on the cast of Vanderpump Rules, to which I responded, like, I am pretty sure we're all at like a neutral place right now. and relations are no longer frayed, but they're certainly not like lovey-dovey. And to which he responded, I was like, well, what about you? Do you ever run into anyone? He was like, here and there, but you know, I'm very close with Lisa.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
What did you say? What did you say?
That's not even said. I said I know Lisa and Ken.
You're like, I love Lisa and Ken.
I mean, and I do. Yeah. They're lovely people.
But then I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, wait, how do you know them? Like,
so
the, how,
no.
But I love, no, and I'm not trying to like be shady to you.
No. I don't feel shaded.
Okay, good.
And, yeah, I don't feel shaded.
Because I just loved that soundbite. Because it was like, oh my God, in the time that we've like last seen each other, he's grown very close.
I mean, I've definitely seen you since then. I just don't know that I don't like go around like volunteering, like, yeah, by the way. And I also, you know, like am friendly with, mm-hmm, Ken and Lisa.
I'm like, how are you? You're like, I'm extra, extra close with Lisa and Ken. Thank you so much for asking.
Honestly, I would do that. Like, that's the real inherent.
That's what I would hope anyone would do to me.
Yeah, it's like start off with that.
Just be like, I'm so close with Brad Pitt now. Thank you.
Yeah, right. No, he's great. He's a dear friend. You know my friend Brad,
mm-hmm,
Pitt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really like super, super into Angie and the kids now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been spending a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. Just like so much.
Yeah.
So much.
So wait, I just asked you to like elaborate on your like Lisa and Ken meeting, and you mentioned, so go ahead and tell.
So the story is like, I'm a journalist and I went to interview Lisa and we had a really lovely time. Like I went to Villa Rosa, as you can imagine, it was iconic. I wish that you guys could see the way Laura's eyes just like widened visibly in like an almost cinematic way when I said I went to Villa Rosa. Like,
I just
she just
love...
lit up like a Christmas tree.
Villa Rosa is kind of like the Grove. No, it's like a Grove like space.
It's striking.
Space of fantasy.
It is a space of fantasy. Yeah. Yes, I would definitely describe it that way. I much prefer Villa Rosa to the Grove.
Yeah,
100%. But it was very beautiful. There were ponies grazing on the lawn. We sat on the veranda and had tea. Like, it was...
Did you see the swans?
We need video so people can see your face right now. Because, yes.
The glass obelisk, otherwise known as Villa Rosa.
Yes, I saw the swans. I beheld the entire thing. And Lisa was just, like, beyond lovely. Like, she was really lovely. So she, after that point, read my book. And then we had, like, a little correspondence about it. And subsequently went to dinner a couple times and like talked about the book, and she was just like really, really lovely and really great. I went to dinner with her and Ken. And this is not like for the show, like if there were microphones, like I would say this too. Like, sincerely.
No, I'm dying over she read the book.
Oh yeah, no, she did. Sincerely.
What a dream to have Lisa Vanderpump read your work and then like love it.
It was very, very gratifying to me. Very gratifying. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't deny that it absolutely was. And like, I did my birthday party at Pump this last year, and like Lisa stopped by and said hi because she and Ken like helped me set it up. It was quite a moment. I will say, like, I don't know if I've ever felt quite as special as when Lisa walked into my birthday party to wish me a happy birthday and everyone was there. Like, it was an iconic moment. Like, it really, really was. Like, I was hugely, hugely thrilled by that. Lisa, if you're out there listening, like, I love you. I think you're the best. Like, really, I was extremely flattered that you took an interest in me and my work. I think you're a true queen and like nothing but respect for my president.
Love.
You know? That's like what I'll say about the Lisa and Ken of it all.
I love that.
Yeah.
So the episode opens up with Jax and Brittany coming back to work at Sur after the dreadful fire that took place in the electronic room.
I know.
And Sur's had a bit of a facelift. There's lots of new chandeliers.
I thought it looked great.
It looks really great.
Yeah.
I am really weirded out by how many fires have happened in like Lisa Vanderpump's world. Like, mm-hmm, Sur has had, I think, a couple, or Pump has had like a couple fires. Sur had one. And I was just like, I was always very suspect of the fire and then this like immediate facelift that happened where it was like, it just smells to me like an insurance scam of some
sort. Wow. Now, do you think that this is just like the cost of doing business? Like if you operate a restaurant, like is this like a cost? I genuinely don't know.
I don't know because, well, so the fire happened and then it was like, oh, we have to replace all this stuff because it was damaged from smoke. And I just was like, this seems all too convenient that suddenly this facelift is happening right around the time this fire. And I kept reading that her restaurants had caught on fire. And then one of the listeners had emailed and or DM'd me and was like, remember when her house caught on fire?
Oh, God. I don't even remember that.
During
when was
the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like kind of the beginning of that era when she lived next door to Adrienne Maloof.
Oh, I do remember that.
And it was very much like, I didn't remember it at all until this person had told me about it. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, so I just find it.
So do you think it's bad luck or do you think there's something more sinister?
I think there's something more sinister at play. Like I have a feeling that there is maybe like a scamder pump happening.
Oh my God.
With the fires. I don't want to go out and about accusing anyone explicitly, but I just think, I'm like, I'm literally the emoji that's like,
Yeah, right. With the sort of like squinting, evaluating. Yeah. I mean, I can't speak to the aforementioned scamderpump fan as I am of that, but of that verbiage. I do think I feel like kitchen fires happen kind of a lot. No, don't they? Isn't that kind of like a thing?
This was an electrical fire. This was like in the electrical room.
Okay.
Where like the little meter, electrical things have those meters that do whatever it is they do.
Yeah.
It happened in there.
Yeah.
It just is.
It didn't sit right with you.
Seeming a little fishy to me. Yeah. My like deeper intuition.
You're finding it sus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My psychic energy, my angels are telling me something's not right.
Your spirit guides and your high teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No,
know.
Yeah. I absolutely know. I think it's a worthwhile flag. I'm just glad that it provided an opportunity to. It looked like there were some great new floors. I saw some really promising new flooring.
And very interesting new light fixtures and chandeliers that came into play.
Absolutely. I feel like the opportunity to do a little bit of updating, as unfortunate as the fire was, I'm sure must have been welcome for all involved.
Yeah, it seems as such.
Yeah.
So Tom Tom's like Vegas trip, the chandeliers kind of tie into that because they link back to Nikolai. Is that his name?
I'm not sure.
The guy who's like in Vegas, she has like some restaurant designer guy.
I was
that
surprised
she goes to.
By how many people there were in Vegas who like,
yeah,
are like involved with the like decor and so on of her restaurants.
Well, I'm like, okay, do. So
did you
Tom
like get
Tom,
that? I didn't totally get that. Like, why are they all there?
Like all the whole crew.
Yeah.
Well, Tom and Tom have now paid, I think, like $25,000 each to like be in business with her.
No. I got why Tom was there. I mean, like, why there were multiple rounds of like various people.
Oh, like who, the plate got like the plates and the salt and pepper shaker
glasses. Why wouldn't they be
guy?
In LA when their restaurants are in LA?
I don't know. Maybe they're like wholesale, like showrooms and wholesale places. I don't understand the logistics of any of the restaurant decor meetings. Like why they would happen in Vegas versus LA, but I can only imagine it's like for the show it makes a lot more sense to just like tote everyone out to Vegas, and that's going to be a lot more exciting having them be
in LA. I guess on a production standpoint that makes sense. What I was wondering is whether like you literally have to leave LA and go to Vegas in order to find the levels of like over the top glitz and glamour that you would associate with a Vanderpump establishment, which felt like very possible to me.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
Maybe you literally have to go to Vegas to find like that degree of like opulence.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't even find it in LA.
Probably. I mean, that makes sense when you think about collectively like the Vanderpump empire of restaurants and now like the dog adoption center. Like,
I mean, like the aesthetic is
very like
it's very
Vegas.
Like glitzy, like fun Vegas, in a way that like you know, I sort of think of all of those establishments as being like a last bastion of that kind of style,
yeah.
You know, in like a really fun way, but like in a way that's very much, you know, like that's the vibe at like Planet Hollywood or like, you know, mm-hmm. the Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
Know? I have no idea.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would like to know that as well.
Maybe we can solve this mystery. Yeah, somehow, maybe. And like get to the bottom of it.
Lala and Sheena are in the studio, and Lala is now really coming into her own as a vocalist, as a singer,
dulcet.
A performer. Yeah, she is really, you know, padding herself with mm-hmm. a lot of people to like launch her career.
I mean, there was a whole entourage. I was quite shaken to yeah. see how many players she rolled with. I mean, I know it takes a village to cut a smash,
but like it was truly. Like Lala's version of going in the stew seems very legit because mm-hmm. I think because she has the whole entourage and yeah. it's not just like Mike Shay and some like random creepy producer. Right. Like it's right. a lot of like hip hop people.
Yeah.
So it seems so.
There was a gentleman who appeared to be wearing like a velvet blazer with no shirt.
Yeah.
I was really taken with that.
Yeah. And
as a kind of style statement.
Totally like hyped and like very high energy. Yeah. And then you had like kind of the two guys sitting at the sound controls, like dealing with that.
Yeah.
And then just like that really chic girl with like the crop top mm-hmm. that was kind of just like vibing out.
Yeah.
She was just like hot and totally. There to vibe.
Yeah.
Which I think you always need in like a going into the studio.
100%.
Environment.
Yeah, totally.
And Sheena actually was really bringing the energy down.
I agree. Although I was really grateful for the flashback to some of Sheena's earlier vocal performances, mm-hmm. some earlier studio sequences.
Her flat singing voice. She sings in a monotone. She's like, what song was she singing? What song was that we flashbacked to?
I don't know, but it was electrifying. I mean, like, it really gave me everything I needed from a piece of recorded sound.
Yeah.
Like it was just like all I wanted.
She's like, because her good eyes got, like she just has no emotion when she sings.
Yeah. I don't think she's nailed the emotive vocals as part of her whole performance package. But listen, you know, sometimes it's just about a pure love of music, you
yeah.
know, and I think she has that in droves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's funny to see Sheena get, like, more animated about, like, something Jack said about Rob, mm-hmm. and then, like, than she does about, like, her own music.
Yeah, totally. I mean, she had a lot to say about Rob this episode.
Yeah, Lala confronts her about what Jack said, about Jack's Tom and Rob's convo on the boat mm-hmm. and how Rob said that he loves her but he's not in love with her, and Sheena continues to deny that he ever said that and that they've like picked out baby names.
What was
like,
the baby name? It was
Madison
really good.
Marie Park Stiletta. What? Yeah. I already know like what that child is.
That child set up for for something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why her insistence on spinning the her and Rob narrative despite like extensive receipts that contradict her at every turn is fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't understand what the psychology of that is.
She's
you know?
So committed. It's like I feel like if she thinks that if she just keeps going that everyone will eventually like believe
reality
it.
Will catch up to the story
yeah.
at some point.
And like
yeah.
people will someday be like, oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like
you were right all
oh,
along.
Oh yeah, you were right all along.
Yeah.
And that it's like no one
it's
ever told her
happen.
that's not what happens yeah. in that situation.
Totally.
Like even on Watch What Happens, like Andy played all the clips of everything Rob had said and then clips of Sheena being like, he would never say something like that. He wouldn't say that. And then she doubled down. She was like, you know, Rob doesn't know Jax that well. And so he's really uncomfortable on camera. So that's like why you were seeing him like that.
Does
and
Rob seem uncomfortable on camera to you?
He seems like he thinks he's too good to be on this show.
Well, and I think there may be some truth to that.
Yeah, but it's also like you're on the show.
Yeah,
like you're
right.
willingly on the show. So then that takes away from any smugness or like
ability to be superior.
Yeah, yeah, because you're here. Like, you're dating Sheena. You're clearly, like, right, wanting this exposure.
So I was thinking about Rob earlier today, as a matter of fact.
As one does.
Yeah, just occupying a little space in my brain.
What were you doing when you were thinking about Rob?
Oh, I mean, I was watching the show.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought you meant you were just, like, he popped into your head at some point. I was like, yeah, totally.
I was out. I was doing Runyon, and I was just, like, having a think. You know, I was just, like, doing some soul searching.
A deep Rob thing.
Profound introspection. And lo and behold, there was Rob in my imagination.
Yeah.
No, I was watching the show, and I was thinking about, like, if you met someone you really liked and they were on a reality show like Vanderpump Rules, how would you manage that? You're giving me a look right now.
It would be, I think, weird.
Like, if you were a private citizen.
If I was a private citizen, is this like, it would be weird for me to meet someone and not know already that they were on, like, a reality show.
Did he not know?
No, I think he knew.
Because they've known each other for a long time.
I met someone organically that just happened, that they, like, yeah, then they revealed to me, or, like, I already knew that they were on this, like, crazy reality show, but I met them and I was like, oh my God, I actually, like, really
like
this person.
Right, I mean, like, if you, like, met a guy and, like, it was, like, really great, and then, like, three dates in, he was like, by the way, last summer, like, I taped this Bravo show, Summer House, and it's coming out soon, and I might go back for a second season. I don't know for sure. Like, would that be, like, a deal breaker for you?
No, I don't think so. Like, if we were really vibing.
Yeah.
But I would have a lot of questions.
But then if, like, the relationship continued and then you were asked to be
in
a supporting role on the show.
It depends. Like, I would obviously watch every episode of the show and, like, ask him all about it. And I would be really concerned if he was a character, like, a Jax type or a Sheena type.
Right.
And, like, he, to me, if I was into a guy, I would think that they wouldn't be, like, a Jax or Sheena type, but I would really question myself if then I watched the show and he was, like, a total psychopath.
Right.
And I'd be like, where's the disconnect here?
Right.
I don't know if I would want to go on a reality show as someone's girlfriend.
The thing I always wonder about this is, like, if we take as, like, a basic premise that, like, to some extent, like, these people are all, like, playing characters on the show. Like, how much of it is basically signing on to effectively an acting job? You know, like effectively, like, a gig where you are, like, a character in this, like, drama that is being developed effectively, where it's just people playing these, like, weird iterations of themselves, as opposed to actually, like, allowing cameras into your life in a real and meaningful way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I, like, I don't know that I would actually want to be, like, depicted as I am on a reality show. Like, if I met a dude and he was like, I'm on this show, and, like, you know, I got, like, roped into being his boyfriend, I would not want to, like, let cameras experience me as I am authentically.
No.
But I think I would love
the attention of it all.
I would love the attention, and I would love getting to decide what version of myself I wanted to be for the cameras, you know, and, like, playing that version. Like, that sounds
could be
fun.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun.
But then also it's like, because I would not want producers to come in and then just, like, create a storyline for me.
Right.
Like,
you'd want to be involved in, like,
I need a lot of say. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, because my worst fear is that what happens to these Vanderpump people is what would happen to me, where, like, the producers kind of observe and then they're like, oh, this is the dynamic. Let's like, really,
this
exploit
is the story.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, he clearly does not care about Sheena and she cares a lot about him. We're going to really lean into it. And, like, if that was me with someone I was dating, they're like, this is his new girlfriend, they don't like her.
Yeah.
I would just be like, I would be not into that.
Yeah.
For me personally.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I'd do it anyway.
I would. It would be like, it wouldn't be fun and flirty and lol for at least, like, 3 to 5 years after the fact. But then you'd hit year 6 and you'd be like, oh my God, this is
incredible. I can't believe I did that.
Yeah. Like, I'm so glad I did this.
Totally.
Everyone needs to watch. You could do a lot of, like, shows. You could write about it.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You need to have some distance from that heartbreak and heartache, but it could pay off.
I feel like what this conversation is bringing me to is that, like, I need to find a guy from a reality show to date.
Yeah.
Like, now.
Yeah.
I need to stop trying to find, like, a suitable partner. Mm-mm. And just look among, like, the gay talent of Bravo.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me start thinking about
this. Or start developing with someone, like, with, like, gay talent that you find. Right. And, like, and then create quote, the unquote, whole...
gay talent. It's a preponderance of that in West Hollywood.
Yeah, there's a lot. And then, you know, kind of seamlessly weave yourself in and out of a show.
Yeah, no, I think that's a
really
good
idea.
That
way you'll have more control.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I want to have like a kind of Dan Bukatinsky on the comeback sort of role where mm-hmm. like I'm very involved in like producing and developing, but like I'm also an occasional appearance maker who gets to sort of like be on and like ham it up for the cameras.
Yeah.
Only this would be reality instead yeah. of like scripted.
That's yeah. the best. That's like the best of all worlds. Yeah. Because totally. Then you're executive producer as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly.
You're calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
But you still get to be
I
cute.
Always do.
Yeah.
Exactly. That sounds like me. Yeah. Totally.
Definitely. Yeah. We flash. Oh, and then we have that flash forward to Sheena singing, and we have like a group acknowledgement that like she's not good, like which felt kind of mean of Lala, but I also loved Sheena just being like yo 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 yo, like, and all the producers being like, okay, this time with feeling.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, yeah, and then Lala being like, I'm cutting her from the song because it's actually like a really important song. It's
pretty
to me.
Savage.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Lala says she's putting her own money into her music career because, and it's not her man who's funding it, which I'm like, more power to you.
I thought this was interesting. And to me, it's just like further testament to Lala as a feminist icon mm-hmm. and as one of the kind of feminist thought leaders of our time
yeah.
that she's willing to be so, I would say brave
yeah.
in really like staking her own claim in this corner of her empire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't need anyone.
She's putting it all on the line.
Mm-hmm. She's risking it all.
She's risking it all. Yeah. There's a lot of risk involved. She's putting on that. She's hiring Stassi to be her event planner.
Mm-hmm.
She's now a client of Stassi's.
She is
Stassi
a client.
Refers to her.
She is a client.
And is throwing the showcase so people can see her talents at work. And so
I have to say I loved their dynamic,
Stassi and Lala.
Yeah,
yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, that's like, that's a twosome I would like gladly like give them a spinoff and like I'll watch the shit out of them.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah,
those are fighting words.
No, I mean, I would.
I love that.
I would. Lala and Stassi, like 10 out of 10 would watch.
What I like about Lala and Stassi is that they both have like active side hustles mm-hmm. outside of the show that
yes.
they're like nurturing.
Oh, they're businesswomen.
Like, yeah, they're businesswomen. Yeah,
for sure.
Which, like, for as many problems as I have with Stassi, I do like have a lot of respect for what she's been able to build outside yeah. of Vanderpump
Oh, she's
Rules.
Like forever on her grind.
Because everyone else on the show is like not on their grind.
Yeah, they're not up to much. Certainly not up to that
no
level. Yeah,
I'm like, where's like, what happened to the t-shirt line? What happened to the chunky sweater line?
Oh,
what
I'm
happened
so
to the cocktail
the
book
line.
Like
yeah,
there's a lot of projects that have really fallen by the wayside.
Yeah,
and we're totally. Not getting any follow-up on.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about this, right? Like LA is sort of like the place of forever just like quote-unquote projects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so like I feel like that's very, it's very true to life.
Yeah,
honestly, to mm-hmm. have like a litany of underdeveloped projects
that never come to fruition.
Yeah, that never really like bear fruit or amount to anything.
Katie and Tom are packing to go to Vegas, and Katie is like, are you bringing any businessy clothes?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is really like, you start to realize that none of these people have ever had any sort of professional interaction in their entire lives.
Yeah, they haven't had to.
No. And yeah. like, so the they're like really celebrating this business meeting, which is not a business meeting. It's like they're filming for the reality show they're on. And it's like, you're showing up to meetings that you've like paid to be at, essentially.
Right.
But the way they like they just say business meeting like 50,000 times in this episode and are just like fully like, they're like, we're businessmen now.
Now I'm curious how much of that is like a sort of narrative that has been invented for the show as opposed to like true to life. I don't know why I find it so unfathomable that these like 30 some are they're in their 30s.
They're like 35.
Yeah,
Tom
right.
Sandoval turns 35 in this episode.
Right. So like that these 30 something men would have been so bereft of like real and meaningful work opportunities that like they don't know what kind of clothes to put on to like meet with potentially important people. Like, is that actually possible? Maybe
it is. I think that it is.
Is that real?
I think it's real. I mean, I don't think they know because I remember
them. That's appalling.
No, it's insane. And like, because remember when they were trying to pitch themselves as like the sangria guys.
Right.
And then they finally were just like, you know, I don't know if we can really do this. It like kind of just fell apart before it even began. They just never knew what they were doing. And in this, it's like the way they're acting is like, it is two people. It's just two idiots.
It's sort of inspiring to me, honestly.
Like they fail upwards.
To move through life with that level of cluelessness about fairly basic things is like really, I find it stirring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if only. I wish I could.
Aspirational.
It's very aspirational. Yeah. To just sort of float through life that way.
But they, like, a lot, I would say the majority of people on this show are exactly that genre of person who have just floated through life kind of haphazardly, falling into like random modeling jobs here, acting in like a shitty film there, and then like waiting tables, being marginally hot, and then kind of being like, well, I don't know. And then the show just happened and kind of saved their life and like redefined everything.
I have so much like deep admiration for that level of ambitionlessness.
Yeah.
You know, like it's really,
but it's such a, it's like a very, it feels like a very LA specific thing.
I was about to say it's very geographically specific. Like I don't know that that category of person exists in most places, but like,
cause I don't think, I guess like every once in a while a person can get away with doing that in like a small town. Like I'm thinking back to like growing up in Oklahoma City or whatever, but like even then, like no one, it's like, what are you going to do with like, you can't be like a West Hollywood like waiter type and like thrive on, like no one cares really if you're hot in like,
well, that was my like big revelation towns, with like moving to LA was that like, you know, it was a place populated by so many small town tens who had come here and found a universe where they could be in whatever way they're doing it professionally hot, which is why LA is such a like weird dark house of mirrors, because like you walk around LA and so many people are so hot and you feel like, I feel like a complete ogre literally all the time. But what I have to remember is that hotness is their livelihood.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I'm sure I would have a different level of commitment to like my personal grooming and fitness if keeping a roof over my head depended on it. You know what I mean?
On you being hot.
Yeah, right. On me being hot. And like my primary skill that made me employable was hotness. So like, of course it's
hotness,
like a high
and
priority,
just a deep urge to be famous.
Yes,
because I remember
hotness and that hunger.
Yeah, and the hunger. And like, because I remember in the pilot episode when everyone, they're like, what do you want to do? And they're like, we want to be famous. Like they're like, I definitely want to be famous someday. And like it seeing them now in a place where it's like they're moneyed somewhat and like they're having business opportunities and like seeing them try and do it but still not really know how to do it is like, it's shocking. It makes me kind of mad, but it also, I guess it creates like a jealousy in me because I'm like,
oh yeah, no, I'm like,
what the fuck?
I'm like 100% salty about it.
I'm like, we're living in a world where Tom Schwartz has done next to nothing with his life yet has more money than I'll probably see in the next like 5 years.
Oh yeah. And like, by the way, I should say, and like put this front and center, like if I sound like a hater, 100% I am, because
I'm kind of a hater
because I'm bitter and jealous and like I wish I could operate that way. And so like if like it 100% stems from like deep insecurity and like a feeling of like not being good enough,
entitlement.
And
feel really entitled
and comparing myself to the good-looking cast of Vanderpump Rules and finding myself ultimately less than. Yeah. So if I'm criticizing them or if I sound superior, know that it's a complete compensation for the way I feel about myself.
But that is like the weird universe that we're living in, where there was a point in my life where I was like, lol, these fucking idiots are like, they're never gonna get anywhere. Like, isn't this great? And then now the tables have really turned and like, okay, well, this is what we're dealing with now.
Oh, like, 100%. And like, whatever Sheena's charging for her SponCon could like pay my rent for a year.
Yeah. You know? And I'm like, that's interesting. And right. also kind of like a cosmic joke. And
totally. Totally. But, like, it feels like there's some very weird karmic forces at work here.
There are. Yeah. It's like mystical almost. It's the world. It's God is smiling as he pulls the strings of the Vanderpump Rules universe.
Yes, as she rewards the cast of VPR.
Yeah, like dumb hotties that like...
Right, just like riches everywhere raining down on them.
It's complex.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to unpack here for sure.
Jax and Brittany are just joining the trip, which I kind of, one thing I really loved about this episode is that Lisa paid for like all this nice stuff so for Tom and Ariana.
I love that so much.
And left Jax and Brittany out of it. At one point I was like, why aren't Jax and Brittany going to this dinner at Mr. Chow? And it was because they were not allowed.
In like a service closet in the basement of Planet Hollywood.
Yeah. Brittany's like, what are you craving? Want to go to Hooters? And he's like, ooh, Hooters. Yeah. And like, they're just not included in any of like the chic
things. They were not
things.
Welcome.
Yeah, no.
I loved that.
In the dungeony suite with the weird spider chair in the middle.
I love that.
I kind of love the spider chair too.
Yeah, no. I also loved that like they were all very taken with it as like an absolute fantasy of like elegance and sophistication. You know, like
they walked into a windowless room and they were like, oh, Katie goes,
is this what
double
it's like?
Doors. Yeah. A double door. And they walked in and there's no light, no natural light, and they're loving it. The spider chair was good. I was like, but then now I'm thinking like, God, because I was like, God, it'd be fun to stay there and like have sex in the spider chair. And then now I'm realizing how many people have thought the same thing and have probably had sex in the spider
100%.
Chair.
It's like deeply unhygienic.
Yeah.
But like, by the way, like I've been in like nice hotel rooms and suites in Vegas and like they're nicer than that.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like they reacted like it was this like extraordinarily luxurious, like decadent thing. And it was like, it's a fucking hotel room, you know?
But that's also the thing with them is that like their taste levels are so low that, and like, the bar is low.
Again, I'm just jealous.
I'm jealous.
I should just like double down and like make sure it's clear. Like, I'm extremely jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But are you a Vegas person, really?
I actually like Vegas, weirdly. I mean, well, let me take that back.
Okay.
There are things that I really like about Vegas. Because I don't drink or gamble, there is literally nothing for me in Vegas, which to me makes it more fun. Like, I like to, like, go for a long weekend in Vegas and, like, write and, like, sit alone in a hotel room because I'm the only person who's not doing anything Vegas-y.
Yeah.
And it's a place you can go and get, like, a very chic hotel room very inexpensively and, like, eat good food and, like, kind of do nothing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Vegas to me is, like... is like a very, like, most of Vegas feels like a poor person's fantasy of what being rich is like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's a very, like, Trumpian version of America.
Yeah.
Like, this sort of, like, weird, dark, Pyrrhic fantasy of, like, what it would be like to live very fabulously in a way that I find, like, kind of bone-chilling.
It's faux luxury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it's all, like, very gold-plated in, like, a very chintzy way.
Yeah, and the people that, the way you do Vegas sounds really interesting. And I know other writers who, like, say, like, I just go to Vegas and, like, bust out, like, a bunch of work and, like, don't do any Vegas-y stuff.
Right.
But, like... people that are like obsessed with going to Vegas like really freak me out because I'm like, you know, this isn't like that, not like it's not like a vacation.
I just sort of like can't imagine anything worse. Like, one of the, like, when I smoked, like, I loved going to Vegas because you can smoke everywhere and like that's so unusual. But like, there's nothing, I just can't imagine anything worse than being like really, really fucked up in Vegas,
yeah.
you know, which is just like such a grim place on so many levels. And like being there sober is like, has enough of its unpleasantness. The idea of like waking up hungover in Vegas,
oh, or yeah.
like stumbling through the hallways of Caesar's Palace, like very, very fucked up, is so just like, I can't imagine anything darker than that.
Yeah.
It's like very, very difficult for me to comprehend.
It's a real no.
Yeah, no, it's a hard pass for me.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Sandoval, they immediately, when they get to Vegas, go down to a cabana where they pour shots, and mm-hmm. Sandoval goes to Vegas and business meetings, and then they all cheers and take a shot.
And I'm like, you still aren't really understanding what a business meeting is.
Well, I don't think they've like, ever I'm had like, have, one before.
I don't think he's ever even been on like a general.
Yeah.
Like, that's like what I, like the way he's reacting to this business meeting is like how I was when I was having my first general meeting.
Right.
Where
totally.
It's like, do you wanna, me a meeting.
Do you want to explain to people what generals are?
Yeah. So for anyone that's not in the biz, a general is where you just are set up on like a meeting to meet with like an executive at a production company or studio
or
like a network or maybe you're meeting at an agency or something.
And agents put you out on
them. Yeah, they put you out on the meeting. And it's basically you just sit down, you say hi, you kind of tell your backstory. They tell you what they're working on. And then you leave and usually never speak again.
I will say that, like, when I first came to LA, like, this, and I think this is true for everyone, like, mm-hmm. it feels incredibly exciting. Like, if you have representation, they're like, well, this week you're meeting with MTV.
Yeah.
Netflix. Like, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Or if you like, have a project, like, when White Girl Problems, when I got the book deal for White Girl Problems, my writing partners and I were sent out. We also got representation. We were sent out on 20 meetings that week.
Right.
And I remember being like, business meet. Yeah, I was like, totally. So Sandoval well, business
meeting. It feels
meeting.
Very much like, oh my God, yeah. I've made it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my moment. It's all happening.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, can't. Too many meetings with networks. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you get in there and it's like, you know, some like very junior development person and they're like asking you sort of weird stilted questions about like who you are and what you do, and you're in there for like 15 minutes
yeah.
and like nothing ever comes of it, and
yeah.
then you leave and you've like driven an hour to Santa Monica in rush hour traffic for like literally no reason.
Yeah.
And like it ends up feeling like what should be this really like exciting and triumphant thing, and there's always like a very recent version of you in the rearview mirror that's like, oh my God, like here I am meeting with like whatever.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, right.
Like, I would have made it all the way down to MTV.
Exactly. Yeah. A kid like me in a place like this, you know? But it's actually just like completely demoralizing.
Yeah. And usually, more often than not, nothing ever happens.
Yeah. Although, to any executives listening to this.
Yeah, I love meetings and I would love to come to more meetings. Have us to
100% available to go on your general.
And to any people listening to this that I have meetings coming up with,
right.
I just want you to know,
I'm looking forward to it tremendously.
You.
I'm stoked for the general.
You know who you are and I love it. And
if
I'm
we can
so
bump
excited.
It up, send me your avails mm-hmm. and let's get it on the books even sooner
yeah.
because like I want more meetings.
If you
want to
turn
that.
It into a lunch or a dinner meeting, I'm also game.
I'm like very available to eat for free.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank
it's
you
one
so
of my
much.
Passions.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And also, if my reps are listening to this, feel free to set more meetings. I feel positive about it.
Yeah, like honestly, I don't know why I'm doing this extended bit about hating generals when I haven't been
I have
asked
like
to
one,
go on a meeting.
I have one
in
coming
so
up.
So long.
That's
do
it.
You? Do you
no,
actually?
No, it's like the end of the month or maybe next month. I don't know. It's pretty far away.
It's been so long since anyone was like has like taken an interest in me.
I'm like, when can't remember my last business meeting actually. The cosmic joke returns again.
I'm like, actually crying. It's so dark. Like, I just did this like 20 minute bit about how I'm so much better than these generals. And meanwhile, like,
yeah, I am
starved for attention. Like,
yeah.
like, anyone remotely connected to the entertainment industry who's listening right now, please request a meeting with me.
Yeah, please yeah. set the meeting.
Please call my team at CAA and ask to speak with me about something. I am so starved for attention.
Oh my God. The irony that Tom Sandoval and Tom Schwartz have had more business meetings than me. I'm shaken to the core. I'm about to just drop the mic and run into the ocean.
It's pretty bad.
It's
I feel like
bad.
I came on this show hoping to be like sort of like arch and superior and like better than the cast, but actually like they're thriving and
they're
I'm not.
They're fully thriving. This is a reality that I've
really
had to
not.
Really confront
yeah.
because this is like part of my livelihood is doing this podcast, which really started out as like, let's troll these fucking idiots. And then now I'm the one that's mostly trolled. But it's okay, and I'm here for the journey and to like learn, have a deeper understanding of life in general.
It's really dark.
It's really dark, though. Yeah,
yeah
I won't argue with that.
Okay.
Britney's fake pregnancy test storyline is like a hard
I did
pass.
Not. I did not care for the commercial break.
No.
I did not care for the tease during the reveal.
No. Like, nothing I about want, it was like.
I didn't like any of it.
No. It yeah. was like, who? What do you take us for?
Yeah, right.
Like, why are you trying to do this
grow
to
up.
Us? Yeah.
Yeah.
Billie Lee and Sheena and Lala all go out for drinks. And mm-hmm. Billie Lee's ex has been trolling her. So she's mm-hmm. done two yoga classes
yeah.
and is ordering a shot and a light beer to try and like deal with her problem.
He's clearly problematic.
Yeah, he's very problematic.
Yeah.
And then, but my favorite
Where
thing is...
Where do you think she practices yoga?
I don't know. I really would love to find out. I kind of see like maybe a Y7 journey for her.
I could see a Y7 or a playlist journey. I would like to believe that she's like more of like a wanderlust girl, but like yeah. it feels pretty likely that it's like a playlist.
A hot
or
yoga.
A playlist for Y7. Yeah. And like, I want to like give credit to Billie Lee because like, I think that she's really chic, but mm-hmm. like, it seems very likely that it's like... a place where there are like candles burning and like they're playing rap music.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone has intel on where Billie Lee is doing yoga.
Yeah. Please let us know.
Tell us.
If you've seen her around town.
My favorite thing about this whole interaction in the bar with them was when Billie Lee's like, so my ex was like telling me he can't get over the fact that I used to have a penis. And then Lala looks at her and goes, you're a chick, dude.
I missed that. No. I completely missed that. That's a really good line.
That was a really good line.
Yeah, that's great.
Sheena then makes it all about herself, and she's like, oh, I totally know what you mean, because me and Shay should never have gotten married.
I did watch that extraordinary turn when Sheena, like, commandeered the conversation away from something that's actually, like, a kind of, like, you know, serious and, like, upsetting thing
yeah.
for Billie Lee.
And, like, a real issue.
And, like, a very real issue, you know, this, like whatever kind of transphobic journey her dude is on. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Sheena just, like, made it about her... vacuous problems yeah. like as she is wont to do,
like related it somehow where it's like not related at all.
Oh yeah, no, it was like the biggest reach. It was really, really hungry.
Everyone's like, that's sad and like fucked up you'd say that, and she's like, maybe he's just not the right guy for you, like yeah. Shay wasn't the right guy for me,
but now I found him and yeah. it feels so good.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone's like, anyways,
yeah, cool, congrats.
They're okay, so this show has just turned into a show full of business meetings mm-hmm. because Lala then meets with Stassi.
I really can't talk about business meetings anymore.
Everyone is having business meetings but us.
It's way too dark for me.
And Lala has, I guess, my question is, who is paying for, like, so Stassi's like, I would normally never drink a shot of sake, but Lala's a client, so here I am.
Yeah, like what tab is that going on?
Yeah, and who's paying Stassi to like event plan Lala's showcase, and who's paying for Lala's showcase?
I have no idea. Do any listeners have any intel as to whether Stassi's event planning business exists outside of the show?
It doesn't.
Okay.
I have intel of
okay,
that.
That's good.
And that it was a totally, it's completely fabricated
okay.
so that she can have storylines for this
okay.
season.
That's really good to know, because I've been wondering, because with, you know, like a lot of other people in the, you know, Bravo Extended Cinematic Universe, like their businesses are very real enterprises outside of the show.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they only exist within the bounds of the show, and it's like you kind of never know.
No, it's only within the bounds of the show.
Okay, interesting.
Lala says she's like worried that James is gonna get like really fucked up and ruin her showcase, which is like a legitimate fear to have.
It sounds very plausible,
and it sounds like it's gonna happen, because I feel like this kind of setup is just prepping you for like a full James meltdown.
It would be so crazy if James did something really irrational at mm-hmm. Lala's showcase.
Yeah,
I would never see that coming.
No. Yeah. Absolutely not. And Lala goes, I literally would take a bullet for James Kennedy. Same.
Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? Jax is coked the fuck out in Vegas. Like, Brittany, like, does her little pregnancy test, like, yeah. scene. And then...
Well, weren't they going to bed at, like, 9 a.m.?
Well, they were later that night. So yeah. they start off the first night in Vegas with, like, Britt and the girls are doing the pregnancy thing. And then Jax is downstairs ordering shots of tequila. And his pupils are, like, dilated to all hell and back. And then they cheers. And Jax goes, cheers to business meetings.
Was the episode called Business Meetings?
No, it was called Vegas, baby. And like,
oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
This is just like, and they truly, they say the word business meeting 48,000 times
so
in this
weird.
Ad.
And
so weird. Everyone cheers. Then Brittany, also Brittany's like, I've been just, I don't know what's happening. I've been throwing up nonstop. And like, I've ever since, like, Big Bear. And it's like, your body is trying to tell you that, like, you're in a terrible relationship.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
When you get sick like that, right. It's because you're stuffing
down. Your body is
down.
Revolting yeah. against you because you are making such poor choices.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you have toxic emotions built up that right. now your body is just trying to physically purge.
Eject them out of you.
And I love that she, instead of trying to even, like, think that that might be a
right.
possibility.
Or, like, interrogate what's really going on with her
like,
whole system.
Maybe I'm pregnant. And, like, and then the producers are like, yeah, let's go with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, we're going to lean into that. Yeah. For like all of 5 minutes.
And Brittany goes, before I take 1,000 more shots, I just want to take this pregnancy test. She's like, clear my mind.
Classiest move.
I know. I love like before I take, like, so as if it came back positive, she would still just take 1,000 more shots.
Right. Yeah. Before I do that. Before
I commit to like
yeah,
having
right.
this baby.
10,000 shots.
Yeah. Yeah. Her outfit also is just like, Brittany's really doing a lot
oh,
of like,
was that the deep cleavage cape moment?
The deep cleavage cape romper.
Yes.
Belted.
Yes, the belted romper.
She loves like any sort of deep cleavage, white or beige family.
Oh, absolutely.
Like with just fabric hanging here and there.
But it's not like a sort of, it's not like a chic, like Kardashian adjacent, like earth tones moment.
No.
It's like that was a sort of rich camel,
mm-hmm.
I would say, which is not.
No.
There was nothing elegant about it.
No, yeah. I don't love it. It was giving me flashbacks of last season's reunion outfit, where she dressed
in
that like kind of like ghostly Victorian, like slutty ghost
oh.
Victorian. Pirate
yes.
ship.
Yes.
Wendy from Peter Pan. Like,
yes.
It was like so many looks.
The slutty ghost special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jax goes, I'm ready to go in at 5 a.m. And he's like looking around like frantically. Like, he's like on coke.
Yeah.
Or rolling. And then Brittany says, she said something that was kind of weird. She was like, if we lived in Kentucky, we'd have at least 2 kids by now. And I'm like, why? Like, you would?
Is that just like automatic?
I don't know, but I was like, are you saying that maybe you got 2 abortions like since you live in LA, or you just would be like knocked
up? I didn't think
up?
That was what she was saying. I just assumed that like, you know, there's
that's
like,
what you do.
Yeah. Like there's like different expectations about like, you know, if and when you have kids, which mm-hmm. like is maybe the case. I don't know. I don't know. I can't really get inside their relationship in a way that I think I will ever find satisfying. Like I find it extremely confounding, and it feels like there's like a sort of weird, there's a weird continuity fuck up in terms of like how much attention we gave to his bad behavior and infidelity like a few episodes ago,
yeah,
and how much it's just been like completely,
it's fine now,
glossed over. Like I don't,
it's like it never happened,
right?
And I'm like, is this just like the essence of their relationship, is like he gaslights her in this way to where it like everything gets brushed under the rug really quickly, or
I
is like
guess.
A lot of time passed,
but
or
it's like it's, and maybe like maybe it was just edited and like much more time has gone by and like that time has, you know, healed wounds in the necessary ways, but it like it's a very Memento kind of experience. It's
yeah,
like, how did we get back here already?
Yeah,
and like a couple episodes ago it was like all deeply fraught,
and I'm it makes me not have the same level of respect for Brittany, because mm-hmm. I'm just like, wow. Like I just yeah. thought that she was better than that.
No, she's like a very willing participant in what is like clearly a really dark sided thing.
Yeah. And I'm also like, okay, so Jax is like clearly so fucked up, and like they're going to bed at like 9 a.m. or something, which makes me think that she probably parties as much as he does.
I don't know. That's so hard for me to imagine, but like, I don't know. You never know. You don't have any intel about this?
I don't have any intel, but I just feel like if you're dating someone that's like that deep into like drugs and alcohol that you probably keep up somewhat.
I will say this is always like one of my biggest pet peeves. And like, maybe it's possible that there are like partners of people who have like active addictions who like genuinely don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's like, speaking as someone who like was an active addict for mm-hmm. many years, like you are not as slick as you think you are.
Yeah.
You know, when you're like active in like a very real drug addiction, like
yeah.
everybody knows whether they're talking about it or not. And these people who are like, I guess like co-signing implicitly or like enabling these like really dark patterns of behavior and then pleading complete ignorance, like always rings really false to me. You don't live with someone who's like, who has a substance abuse problem and have no idea. I don't think. Maybe
no.
I'm wrong. Maybe they're...
I don't think you do. And
I don't mean to generalize. I just like, it's really, really difficult for me to imagine.
Yeah. And having been privy myself to like people that have been in relationships and like one person is like a heavy user and yeah. like the other one is maybe not so much, like there still is some sort of like enabling that's going on.
Totally.
Or like there's something about that dynamic that keeps the relationship working.
100%. Yeah. And like that's its own kind of weird sickness.
Yeah. So I mean, Jackson Brittany's relationship is like, I didn't think that we could get darker than Katie
yeah,
and Tom's.
No, but it's,
but then
really
Vanderpump
dark.
Rules always delivers.
They always do.
Yeah.
They just know.
Schwartz's rules for going out is no shots after 6 a.m., one water for every beer, and if he loses $1,000, then that's it.
Yeah, that sounds responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, just a total financial troll, because yeah. if I lost $1,000, I would truly lose everything.
Literally like
I don't even actually have $1,000 to lose.
Oh, my entire net worth. What am I gonna do? That's all. I can't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
I dated a guy who would like gamble that way in Vegas, and I was like, how are you comfortable with losing this money and having nothing to show for it? Why don't you want to fritter it away on bougie workout classes and expensive shoes and meals at restaurants you can't afford like a normal person?
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you?
I would much rather like just blow it all on some sort of like shopping spree,
yeah,
and like nice dinner.
Exactly. Like, why would you do that with your money when you could have like Gucci slides and go to SoulCycle twice?
Yeah, I don't really understand
with $1,000
gambling.
Yeah, me either. It, like,
me neither.
Does not speak to me
yeah.
in the least. But I mean, like, God
I mean,
speed.
Like, if I was dating a guy and he was, like, a great gambler, like, never lost money, then I'd be like, okay, I love that, and can I have some?
Yeah, right.
But, like, it just feels stressful.
In that scenario, I would just, like, stand off to the side in, like, a cute dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be my preference. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Jax wakes up. He looks like, I think he has like a nose full of coke boogers. Like, I saw that. I like saw some flex in his nose when he and Brittany are lying in bed and she's like talking about her pregnancy test practical joke. And she's like, I thought you were going to be so mad. And then he's like, what'd you do? You just stick it up in there. And it's like, we then realize that Jax has no idea how
a
pregnancy test.
How did he get to this point in life with as many sexual partners as he has had and not know how a pregnancy test works?
He literally got a girl pregnant in Vegas in season one of the
show.
How
does he not know?
He just has, I guess, never thought to ask.
I mean, listen, he's had a lot going on.
I love that he just is forever, even after his pregnancy scare and subsequent abortion,
yeah,
is like never mm-hmm. even...
The whole thing about pulling out was really upsetting to me.
That's insane on a multitude of levels because, yeah. one, it's like, what, you guys are being crazy for right. this is your method
this
of
is
birth
like
control.
Highly reckless.
Yeah. yeah, like very reckless. Like, I know people, I've like talked to women that have been like on the... whatever the birth method is, or birth control method, it's like natural cycles or whatever, mm-hmm.
yeah.
and that are pregnant. Like,
yeah.
they're like, yeah, we thought we were doing it, and it just didn't work. And I'm like, yeah, because you were having unprotected sex.
Like, all the time.
And just, like, feeling if your
just
body
just, like, feeling
was,
your
like,
body.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's
feeling,
like, no.
Like, am I fertile today?
And also, like, Jax is a serial cheater, so that it kind of weirds me out that Brittany's having, like, totally unprotected sex with him.
That was the part of it that, like, really darked me out, because that feels like extremely high-risk behavior with someone who, like, does not have a great tradition of fidelity,
yeah.
to say the least.
Yeah. So, just, like, worried about both of them.
Yeah, same. Mostly Brittany.
Yeah, mostly Brittany. She is the most to lose in that situation.
For sure.
Tom, according to Lisa, Tom is going to be industrial, romantic, industrial, sexy now.
Was that the exact
She said quote? It, she okay. was like, it's going to be industrial, great, romantic, great. And then she's describing it like in a separate sentence, and you just hear her going, industrial, sexy,
great.
Now.
Great, great.
It's architectural with lots of Edison bulbs.
Mm-hmm. We love an Edison bulb. I have to say, I thought those renderings looked pretty nice.
They didn't. Yeah, they did. They looked not, they didn't, my bar was set so low, yeah. I think, that it was a pleasant surprise to see thought, what like, they look like.
I'll go. I mean, like, I always.
Yeah,
like,
that was my first thought. I was yeah. like, I'm going. Yeah, like,
I'm definitely going to go.
Yeah.
Like, there's no world way I'm in which. Not yeah. going to this Mm-mm. place.
Yeah, absolutely for sure. not.
Yeah.
I said this before in the podcast, but I was going through. I had to go through a lot of bank statements from like 2015 and 2016 and like That's go fun. Through every single like For charge what? Just because I was like having a lot of tax problems and oh, like God. It was a whole deal. And so I was writing down like noticing how much money I spent on a various amount of things. And one thing that really stuck out to me was that I went to pump so many times. I did not realize how many times I had gone to pump. As like, and it's always as a joke, but right. really then the joke.
Like you're comes. Actually, you're, yeah, you're then, there a lot.
No, it's yeah. there a lot. Oh, it was actually nice that Jax got Tom that guitar for his birthday.
That was really thoughtful.
It was like, really
uncharacteristically
thoughtful.
So.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, a human moment.
Right. Super weird.
We need to say a prayer and have a moment of silence for Momofuku Milk Bar because it officially peaked as of this episode of Vanderpump Rules.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you wearing to Milk Bar's funeral?
Mm, just a black
Simple
sheath.
Black dress.
Yeah, yeah. Simple yeah. black dress.
Totally. I'm wearing Britney's cape, belted romper. Deep
in black?
Moment. Yeah.
Okay. Black. I actually will wear her. Black. I'll wear her reunion dress. Pirate. Slutty pirate slutty ghost. Ghost. Yeah. In Perfect. Black.
Okay, great.
They look at the cake. As they present it to Sandoval, and someone goes like, it has a dick on it. And then everyone laughs. And then Brittany goes, she goes, look at all the chocolate discharge. And I was like, fully. The fact that she called it discharge is so really disconcerting, but
it's
then
really upsetting.
Says a lot about like the type of sex that she's having with Jax and like the interaction with his dick, because there probably is a lot of discharge. I'm just saying.
I hate that so much.
I hate it, but it's illuminating and it needs to be pointed out.
You're not wrong.
The Toms and their girlfriends go to Mr. Chow. And they order Fiji because it's a special occasion.
That was noteworthy to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you recognize the second bottled water brand that was...
Boudoir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was new to me.
Really?
Where do they serve that? Is it sparkling or flat?
It's sparkling. Mm. It's like a sparkling water that's served at restaurants sometimes.
I thought I was classy. And I was like, did he just make
that
up...
That shocks me that you didn't know that.
Brand? Yeah, no, apparently I mean...
No business meetings and no boudoir of knowledge. How far the mighty have fallen.
At my generals, I do not get offered boudoir. They don't. What is it? Boudoir?
Boudoir?
Boudoir? Is it like shameful that I don't know what this is?
I don't think so. I just know that I've seen it at restaurants and stuff, and I've seen it as like a sparkling water brand. But I feel like I'm pretty up to speed on like... all water brand, like that's a passion of mine.
I will say I'm like a diehard flat water drinker, like okay. I don't drink sparkling
oh
water
I heavily
all.
Fuck with sparkling
so
water.
That maybe well I don't fuck with like straight up sparkling water. I drink LaCroix at home. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
when I'm like out at restaurants, like I'm a flat water.
Oh yeah, I'm a life. Tap water. Yeah. I'm like yeah yeah totally. I'm not paying for water in a restaurant.
Yeah, I was surprised that I didn't know that brand, and I guess I have no taste or class, which is, like, honestly not surprising.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah, right. Who's shocked? Nobody.
Tom Sandoval can't stop making bad jokes about the duck, and he's pissing all the waiters off.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
Then we cut to Jeremy having a photo shoot with James, because things are going so well for James that it's time for him to have like a classic white DJ photo shoot.
Absolutely. For the flyers.
For the flyers.
Yep. Yep.
I love that he's also doing push-ups and getting ready for a photo shoot where he has a shirt on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Necessary.
And I am actually happy for James that he's found so much success in DJing, because he's not a bad DJ.
Yeah. No, I believe that he's not a bad DJ.
I've heard him DJ, and I've said this for years, that he's a great DJ.
The thing about me is like, and I don't know if this is just like something that I have blinders on for, like I'm not sophisticated enough to differentiate, but I feel the way about DJing that I do about poetry. Mm-hmm. Like I know very bad poetry and I know exceptionally good poetry. And then what lives in the middle, mm-hmm. I have no idea whether it's like good or mediocre or like fine or lacking. Like I don't feel like my lens is like really refined enough to be able to like make a real assessment about like whether it's good or not.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about DJing.
Yeah. You
know? Like how
it's a really good analogy.
Like how do you know what a good DJ is? Like obviously if somebody's like fucking up the like beats per minute and like mm-hmm. the mixes or like playing really like whack stuff.
Yeah.
Like I guess that would constitute a bad DJ.
Yeah, I think
but, like,
so.
What separates a James Kennedy from an Avicii? Is it like inventiveness? Is it like the like what is it? What,
I don't know,
what makes
actually.
A great DJ?
I don't even know how someone like Avicii becomes Avicii.
Neither do I. Like, is that just like branding?
Isn't he like 20 years old or something?
Yeah, he's like 11. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who gets behind your music and like pulls the strings to suddenly you're making like 500K a weekend right. in Vegas. Like, I don't understand.
And is James
it at
Kennedy
all.
A great DJ like Tiesto, or is he a great DJ like Paris Hilton?
I don't know. Well, it's like,
and was Samantha Ronson ever a truly great DJ?
Yeah, I don't know. Was she? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, like, I
does
saw
she
her
still DJ.
DJ? I don't know. I have no idea.
What does she do?
I don't
that's know. A separate podcast.
I don't know. Yeah, that's next week's episode.
Yeah, next
just,
week's
like,
episode.
Just like dedicated to a deep dive into Sam Ronson's current whereabouts.
Like, what has she done since 2010?
I have absolutely no idea.
Truly, I couldn't even begin to.
You know what? I got invited to an event where she was DJing.
Okay, so she still
like
does
within
DJ.
The last year.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was, but I remember like noting it on the invite and being like, "Huh?
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
love."
Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if James Kennedy is like a great DJ or not, because I don't actually know what constitutes a great DJ.
I don't really know either. I just know if I like what's happening or not. But usually when I'm in the presence of any DJ, I would either have had a few drinks or some other mind-altering substances.
Right.
So like my like you can't trust me really.
Well,
I know if I know when I've experienced bad DJs too.
I would love any insights that listeners might have about what makes a great DJ, because this would be like super illuminating for
yeah.
me.
Probably not playing at places other than Sir.
I don't understand why you're attacking me like this.
Lala's man isn't coming to her showcase. And James
wow.
is heated about that.
Wow. Understandably.
And he says, like, he's probably too busy cutting into a fucking steak at Mastro's to come mm-hmm. to his girl's show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, true.
Yeah, very possible. Is that where he goes?
I guess
think?
So. He's a producer,
he
so
sure.
that's where producers seem to eat. We wouldn't know.
I get invited to no meetings with
no,
them, so I have
we
no
don't
idea.
Have meetings, so yeah. we don't know where
right.
they go.
Yeah.
Ariana's huffing on her inhaler, mm-hmm. which has never really been out and about before, but maybe she's having some asthma journeys on this episode.
I mean, if anywhere is going to irritate your nasal passages, it's Vegas.
True.
I don't think I've ever gone to Vegas and not come back sick.
It's very dry there.
Oh, the air quality is just
yeah.
hideous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Schwartz is getting... So they all go out to dinner at Mr. Chow and then go to Tao afterwards and... Mm-hmm. have like a Vegas-y birthday party mm-hmm. and Schwartz gets like beyond obliterated mm-hmm. and he gets the level of drunk that it's like it's not cute anymore.
Yeah, no, it feels more kind of dangerous or sinister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Like if he like thank God he has friends to like babysit him because yeah. he should not ever be left to his own devices 100%. If that's how drunk he's getting.
Yeah.
And also very problematic, I think.
Yes, I agree.
Then we cut to the next morning and Lisa is having another business meeting with the head of the restaurant at Caesar's Palace. And there's more Vanderpump Rosé promo.
And a potential, apparently you can get the entire bottle poured into one glass, which
mm-hmm.
I was very taken with that as like a visual. And
yeah.
I was disappointed that we didn't get to see it
mm-hmm.
during that segment.
I really liked that. I'm excited that Vanderpump Rosé is having like... it's Phoenix rise from the ashes because mm-hmm. I feel like for a while it was in a TBD place.
Well, I think I'm guessing that part of what you're excited about is like readier access to Vanderpump Rosé.
Yeah.
Like many of your favorite non Vanderpump owned restaurants. Like the idea of
like
being
you could just go get it on the menu. Right.
Yeah.
Because it is actually
just like going to like Hugo's or whatever for brunch and like there's Vanderpump Rosé. I mean, imagine.
I know.
What a world.
It's a surprisingly good rosé.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Actually, I will say it's delicious and I recommend it.
God bless.
Yeah. So just know that. It's 9 a.m. and the Toms are taking shots of Fireball on their way to meet with Lisa and Ken, which is when you, it's like, maybe that's just like hamming it up for the camera, but it's also like, what are you doing
right
now? It's like,
it's so self-destructive.
It's so bad that it's like, how do you just not understand?
I'm just not clear. I know I keep coming back to this and beating this drum, but I'm not, it is so unimaginable to me that these man babies would be so colossally inexperienced and unprofessional that even for like a major business meeting, the likes of which VPR has never seen before.
Yeah.
Certainly the likes of which I've never seen before. that they would not have their shit together. Like, it has to be an invention for the show. Like, it has to be a plot point, right?
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't know. I would, I
like,
really.
What tension would there be if they just, like, showed up to the meeting on time looking nice?
I'm going to go out on a limb and just be like, and say, no, I think that this is what
this
they're,
is actually who
this
they
is
are.
How they conduct themselves in the business, in the environment of business.
Business meetings.
In business meetings.
Yeah, that is remarkable.
Yeah.
I am, I should say, for anyone listening, always on time for my generals.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah.
I might be like 5 minutes late, but
I even like get there early to like deal with whatever the parking situation is.
You,
to, like,
you're good about that.
Yeah. No,
I'm usually like, either right on time or like maybe a couple minutes late.
But I mean, like, that's fine. Like,
but it's whatever. It's yeah, LA.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we have this like really uncomfortable scene where it seems like Lisa is really getting pissed at them. Like, they're talking too much. They're like being too goofy. She's like actually just trying to like order the lamps and they're like interrupting and are kind of drunk. And she ends up sending Schwartz and
he's been dismissed.
Sandoval away. Yeah. She's like, please just go in the other room and do whatever you want. Like, drink a Dr. Pepper and like I'll talk to you later.
Right.
And Tom Schwartz, when he's in these situations where he gets like uncomfortable around Lisa, is like, they're so awful because he just doesn't know how to conduct himself.
Yeah, he's so clueless.
Yeah, and he'll be like kind of laughing or trying to like make up for it, and it's just like awful to watch.
No, it's completely unbearable. And like, I don't know. I mean, again, it's like, I at what point, if you were Lisa, why would you not just say like, okay, let's be done with this? Like, you know, I get like, let's maintain the gimmickry of having you guys be like sort of named as part of this new business enterprise and leave you out of everything because you're such fuck ups.
Yeah.
Why continue engaging them? Like, I feel like it has to be for the purposes of the show, because why on earth would anyone who is like, you know, whatever, like, whatever you think of Lisa, she is, like, an incredibly successful and accomplished businesswoman who's been, like, very canny in the decisions she's made. Like, why would you have these two idiots, like, making things worse for you?
Yeah, I don't know. It must, that, I think, is for the show. And also, it's, like, a way to tie her more organically into the show.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah, because it's, like, not a lot of them. I mean, I guess some of them still work at Sir, but the majority don't at this point. Right. So, but it's like, it's really baffling and it's uncomfortable. And I did get the sense that she was like pissed at that.
Genuinely irritated.
Yeah. Just being like, I'm
over
this.
As she was with Jax. Like, I think her feelings were actually like very hurt by the fact that he like, you know, did not show up for her thing.
Yeah. That seemed authentic to me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I don't know why she would include them.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Her watch was really insane. There was a shot of her like crazily huge, like diamond encrusted square watch. It was interesting. It was a look.
Love her.
And then Tom Sandoval tries to like butt in after he's been told to go away, and she's like just like dismisses him. And then I was just like in a full body cringe, and then the episode was over.
That's
so it was
it.
Saved.
Next week looked really good.
Next. James's dad.
Wow. I was shook.
I had no
his mom.
Idea that that's what we were dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
And then his mom was married to that man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And had a child with him. And that child is James Kennedy.
It's pretty incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah. What was at the end of the teaser for next week that was so good? I was like, I thought I was 1 week behind, and when I realized it hadn't aired yet, I was furious because I was hoping to just like go on my DVR to the next one. It was really disappointing.
When Billy Lee says that Jeremy asked her out on a date, and then Stassi goes, "You need to be careful because he's creepy."
Oh,
and then
yeah.
She does my favorite thing, which just reminded me of the Housewives of Beverly Hills Scary Island when Kelly's like, "It's creepy. It's creepy."
Yeah, yeah.
And so Stassi has a moment of calling Ariana's brother creepy.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
So I'm here for any sort of like infighting.
Oh, always. 100%.
Well.
What an episode it was.
What an episode.
I know.
I know. This season is just like, we're back.
I know. They're back. They're better than ever. They're not messing around. They're more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
They're more woke.
Yeah.
They're really going for it.
They're going for it. They're thriving.
They're thriving intersectionally.
Yeah.
In new and satisfying ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Thank you so much for being my guest.
Oh my God, it was my pleasure. This was like a true joy. I mean, I like, what better way to spend an afternoon?
Oh God, I love having you on. You have to come back sometime.
Obviously.
And will you just tell our listeners where they can find you?
Absolutely. On both Twitter and Instagram at Sam Lansky, SamLansky. That's me. And you can buy my book, The Gilded Razor. On Amazon, or you know what, go to your local bookseller.
Yeah, we get a hard copy.
Our independent booksellers, you know,
yeah,
the lifeblood of the publishing industry.
The hard copy is worth it because it was a very nicely designed book.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm actually looking at it on your shelf right now. I'm like definitely gonna like grab a little Insta video.
Oh, absolutely.
And, like, do like a slow zoom on it on your shelf. On my way out of here.
I loved it. I read it, and it's a great book. Oh, so I co-sign. So
wow.
I co-sign this promo.
It's quite an endorsement.
It's a truly, truly great book.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. So yeah, get it.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
See
Bye.
You at the meeting. Bye.
This episode of the Sexy Unique podcast is brought to you by the following premium sponsors: Lori Wheat, Meredith Good, and William Jones. Thanks to you guys, it's all happening.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know I'm feeling, cause I know
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.